Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
It's so good to be in church. Today is Declaration Sunday. And so we have, after next service, which I know a lot of people from this service are coming to next service, we have over 25 people getting baptized. And so we're super excited about that. It's their day to make their declaration for the Lord, and it's just, you know, I love Baptism Sunday because there's nothing like it. I remember when I got baptized, I'll never forget, I was only about 7 or 8 years old, and I got baptized with my dad, my mom, and my brother Mike. All four of us got baptized together. It was snowing, it was winter, it was freezing, and they make you wait downstairs in the basement of the church, which is so foreign to us because it's never like that here, and we don't have basements. But I'll never forget walking up there, and we had the white robes on. It was, you know, just old-fashioned, but it was glorious getting baptized, and what a special moment getting baptized with my family. And so today, over 25 people are going to share that same experience as they make a declaration for the Lord. And so it's exciting. We're going to make it super special for them. We invite you all to come back. And after today's message, if you've never been baptized, hopefully you will say, today's my day to get baptized, right? But I want to share with you today, you know, I don't know about you, but, you know, stuff's going on, and aren't you glad that we've got a God who always is there for us? And the Lord just gave me such a word this morning, I just want to share it with you, maybe to bless you, help you, and put you over the edge like it did me in a good way. But I was just praying, you know, I pray the Colossian prayer, it's a prayer that Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 1. And I prayed over all of you guys. I walk through this church at night, and I lay hands on the pews, and I just speak the word over you. And aren't you glad somebody speaks the word over you? But the Colossian prayer, which is one of my favorites, and it says that he has qualified us to be partakers of his inheritance in the saints. And just on the inside, it rose up in me, and I just said, I choose today to be a partaker. How about you? You choose today to be a partaker of your inheritance. You know, God has an inheritance for you. And, you know, wouldn't it be nice if we had a little old grandma or an aunt or like a fifth cousin twice removed that just loved the Lord and served Jesus her whole life and was 100 years old and ready to go to heaven. Doesn't that sound good?
Yes.
And she went to heaven and we got a phone call and they said, hey, she left you $1 million. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great? I mean, that would just be great, you know? I mean, she's ready to go on. She can't do anything with it. She's going to leave it here for us. And so we would have an inheritance. How silly would we be if we said, oh, we don't need that. We don't need that. How silly would you be if you said, oh, I'm not going to use that. But you know what? The inheritance that God has given us is so much greater, believe it or not, than $1 million. There are some things $1 million cannot buy. It cannot buy peace. It cannot buy joy. It can help. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. It can help. But it can't buy it. It can't buy peace. It can't buy healing. It can't buy joy. It can't buy salvation. It can't buy restoration. It can't buy redemption. The inheritance we have in God has all of that in it. But we have to be partakers. And I want to encourage you today that that word says that he has qualified me. You don't qualify you. You don't earn it. You don't work for it. You don't deserve it. He qualified us. So whenever anybody ever feels just totally unqualified, like you're not the person, you don't deserve it, it's not for you, it's for everybody else but you, you got to meditate on that verse that says, he has qualified me. Amen. And one of the things in our inheritance is we have a God who hears us and answers us. And so today I want to encourage you to partake of answered prayer.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Partake of being able to have a God who created the heavens and the earth. The Bible says that's where my help comes from.
Yes.
The God who created the heavens and the earth, he hears you. He answers you. That's part of your inheritance. It belongs to you because of whose you are. Amen? It belongs to you because of what Jesus has done, not because of what you've done. You know, many times I go to the Lord in prayer, and you know, you can judge me for this. I don't care. I go to the Lord, and I say, Lord, I come not based on me. I come in spite of me. I come based on you and what you have done. Amen. I come to you to the throne of grace, Lord. I'm going to receive what I did not earn, I do not deserve, but it's still going to come to me because of you. Yes. Amen? Amen? And so I encourage you, quit disqualifying yourself from going to God. Amen? Amen? Because God, the Bible says that He has qualified me to be a partaker. How many partakers we got in here?
Yes.
All right. Now, speaking of partaking, how many want to partake of a prize this morning? You know, this is just freaking me out. So many people over here. It's just freaking me out. I feel like this, out of balance. But that's all right. They're on 12:45. Here we go. You have your choice today of chilies. Which is not my personal favorite, if anybody cares. Chili's, Macaroni Grill, or On the Border. That's it. That's what we got today. But hey, it's a blessing. Amen? And for people like Pastor Devon, who loves Chili's, he's really hoping. He's rooting. He gets it. How many other people love Chili's in here? Anybody else? A lot of people like Chili's. Oh, 2 for $20. Hey, two people can eat. Here we go. No dessert for you. All right, here we go. Winner, winner. Now, we do this for no other reason. There's no spiritual reason why we do this. Why do we do this?
For fun.
Just for fun. We just do it for fun. We used to do it to say thanks for the parking, but now we do it for everybody, so it's just for fun. Here we go. 2-1-4. Oh, wait. Does everybody have a ticket? Good job. Good job, Josh. Good job. Or good job, whoever. David. Good job, David. Oh, that's right. It's parking today. Good job. Here we go. 2-1-4. Two? That just cracks me up every time. 214, 211. Oh, right there. Praise the Lord. And then I want to show everybody something that we got. I just show you this. Maybe you didn't know this, but BBC has their own Little League team. Look at that. Don't they look good? And they did really well. And there's Coach Steve right there with his I Love My Church t-shirt on. It looks great. But you know what? You guys, we all supported their team. This is our second year supporting them, and we'll always support them. And they wear their t-shirt to say Believer's Victory. Isn't that exciting?
Nice.
That's
yeah.
Exciting. All right, here we go. You guys ready for a good message?
Yeah.
All right, I got one for you. Now, I got some good news for you. Last week, we had an awesome Easter service. We had our big cross up here. Wasn't that cool?
Yes.
If you weren't here, where were you? That's our question. No, that's all right. But anyway, we had such a great time. We had our big cross up here, and it was just such a great illustration of how simple the gospel is. You can't get there on your own. You want to get to God, you need Jesus.
That's right.
Right? And so, but last week in our services, with all three services, we had 11 people give their hearts to Jesus for the very first time. Isn't that exciting? So exciting. So today we're doing our water baptism, but we want to talk about, you know, what did we just do, you know? Sometimes we can be saved so long we forget how good it is. You know, we can forget. So turn over to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 out of the New Living Translation, or you can follow along on the Bible app. But here it says, God saved you by His grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. You know what? When we got saved, and that word saved, it means that we were transferred out of darkness into light. We became brand new creations in Christ Jesus. All of our sin was forgiven. We became empowered to live life here on this earth with victory. We got a ticket to heaven and an escape from hell when we got saved. Amen?
Amen.
That is good news. And it is such an amazing thing. There is no greater miracle than somebody saying yes to Jesus.
Amen.
There's no greater miracle. And when it says here, it says God saved you by His grace when you believed. You can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things. Salvation is a gift from God. God is the only one who can give it to us. You didn't earn it. You didn't work for it. You cannot work hard enough to get saved. Because then you would have to be perfect. And perfection lies in heaven. It's not here. Look at your neighbor and say, I can see that. We're not perfect, but you know what? You know what I love here? It says, God saved you. All right. God saved you. God saved you by his grace. I love the word grace. You know why I love the word grace? Because I understand what grace is. See, a lot of things in the Bible you don't get excited about because you haven't taken the time to learn about them so you can be excited about them. Right. If you understood how good God's grace is, you'd be excited every time you heard the word grace.
That's right.
Here's a real quick definition of God's grace. The Bible says in Ephesians that all God's grace abounds towards me. Grace is God, all of God's mercy, all of his goodness, all of his kindness, all of his power. It's anything good and great you can think of about God. All the good stuff that God has. His restoration, his redemption, all of it. And the Bible says that is abounding towards me. Grace is receiving what I do not deserve, what I have not earned. It's getting something that somebody else earned for me. It's God's grace. And the Bible says that God's grace, all his goodness, all his kindness, all his love, all of his mercy, all of his power, it says that it's not sitting on a shelf waiting for you to be good enough for it. The Bible tells us in Ephesians that it is abounding towards me. So often people think that God is so interested in what you've done and just marking, you know, a check mark by, you know, you did this and you did this and you did this and you're bad and you're that and God's a finger wagger. But you know what? The Bible doesn't say that. God says that his grace is abounding towards you. God loves you so much. And we get saved when we receive all that grace. We receive all God's goodness. And that word abounding, I love that word. I tell the same story every time I explain to somebody what abounding is because I haven't found a better story. I haven't found a better explanation of what abounding means except for this story. So if you've heard it, how many know what I'm going to say? You were here first service. Here's what happened. This is abounding. I want you to get a picture of what abounding is. We were on a motorcycle trip years and years ago. Years ago. Before I was married, before Pastor Norm was married, a whole bunch of us from church, we went on this motorcycle trip. And so we found ourselves on this big hill. What we did not know is during the winter, this hill is a ski slope. There was no sign. We didn't know. You can't tell. There's no ski lift. We didn't know. And so anyway, we're up on this hill. My sister-in-law, Donna, loves musicals. All musicals. She sings musicals constantly. I'm not really into musicals, but she loves musicals. And so guess what song she begins to sing? The Hills Are Alive. So she's going, the hills are alive, and she's doing this down the hill, and we're all up at the top, Pastor Norm and me and some other people. And so she's going, and then all of a sudden, guess what happens? She begins to abound. She's going so fast down that hill that she cannot stop herself. And now she's no longer singing, the hills are alive. She's just, wah, you know. And she's coming down that hill so fast. And just, you know, whatever's in front of her, she's just going to bowl over. Because she's abounding. And whenever I read in Ephesians that God's grace is abounding towards me, I get a picture of Donna coming down that hill. And I just think, man, that is God's love, that is God's goodness, that is God's kindness, that is God's mercy, that is God's restoration, that is God's power, that is all the good things about God. I'm at the bottom of the hill because that's where we're at without God, at the bottom of the hill. And his grace is just coming towards me. And it is going to overwhelm me, it is going to bowl me over, it is going to overtake me, it is going to just be all over me. That's God's grace. And that's God. That's how much God loves you. God is not withholding from you. God's grace is abounding towards you. And it doesn't matter where you are on that hill. There is nothing you can do to make God not want to have his grace for you. Nothing you can do. See, we need to quit disqualifying ourselves from God. You know what? Sin doesn't disqualify you. Smoking doesn't disqualify you. Cussing doesn't disqualify you. Some of you need to be like, thank God. Thank God. Whew, that was a close one. It doesn't nothing disqualifies us from the love of God. His grace abounds. He can't stop because he loves us so much. And that's how people get saved. That's what happened last week. 11 people raised their hand and they let that grace hit them square in the face and change them from the inside out. They didn't earn it. They didn't have to work for it. They just had to receive it. And that's what we got to do with the grace of God. We just got to say, here I am, Lord. My whole life is yours. And he'll come and just abound over us. Oh, isn't that good? Yeah. That's how much God loves us. Let's keep reading here. In Philippians chapter 2, verse number 12 and 13 out of the New Living, it says, work hard to show the results of your salvation. Not to get it, to show the results. Obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. I want you to pay real close attention to God is working in you. God is working in you. You know, we had 11 people get saved last week, and you know what? They're not perfect yet. They're not perfect yet. We had people get saved 20 years ago, and they're not perfect yet. But here's what happens when you open your heart up to Jesus and you receive the grace of God and you get saved. You say, Jesus, I want to accept you as my Lord and Savior. You know what happens? God begins to work in you. He begins to work in you and through you. And you know what he's doing? He's giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. But you know what? We don't change immediately when we get born again. We don't become perfect. We don't have it all together. But God is working in you. And I want to encourage you, a lot of people in our church have recently got born again within the last year or 2 years. And you know, you might be saying, man, I'm still dealing with this, or gee, I still have these desires and it's just hard for me, it's temptation. I want to encourage you that God is working in you. It's a work. It's a work. You're a work in progress. You're a work in progress. And you know what? I want to encourage all of us as believers, never wag your finger at somebody. Never tell somebody you're disappointed in them. That's not your business. That's between them and God. Nobody wants to be told what they're doing wrong. Nobody likes that. Now, there are times where somebody in your life is your leader, your pastor, your mentor, and they, because they love you and God has placed them in your life. But just for strangers, don't be rolling your eyes at people and saying, man, I thought they were saved. What's wrong with them? God's working in them. They're just, instead of rolling your eyes and be like, what in the world? Just say, you know what? They're a work in progress. And then look in the mirror and say, you know what? You're a work in progress. You're a work in progress. Because you know what? Just because you got born again doesn't mean that you got it all together. How many still got some rough edges? Make sure your neighbor raised their hand. Make sure. You know? You still got some rough edges. You got some flat spots in your life. I like to say flat spots where you're not well rounded in an area. God's still working on you in some areas. And so you know what? If you got born again last week and you thought, man, I thought I'd change more, you're a work in progress.
That's right.
Amen. But you know what? The more you let God work in you and through you, the more your desires will change. And the more power you'll have to do what pleases him.
Amen.
Amen. Right. But let God do his work. Let God do what God does best. And that's change us from the inside out. Amen. Now we got to work with God.
That's
right? You got to work with him. You know, sometimes it's like, hey, help me out here a little bit. You know, you want to say, God's probably up there saying, help me out here a little bit. You know, there's only so much God can do. Right? I was telling first service, there was a day, Scott and I, we went to Bud's. How many love Bud's? I mean, be honest. How many love Bud's? I mean, come on. I mean, it's just, so we go to Bud's, you know, we're trying to eat healthy. We're obviously not at this moment. We go to Bud's, we get 2 chicken finger quickies, which if you don't know what that is, it's fried chicken goodness. And then it has 2 fried hush puppy goodness, and then, or corn fritters, and then it has a bunch of the best fries in town,
yes.
Right? All a big fried mess. And it's so good, right? And so we get it. We're in the car, and Scott goes, are you going to pray? And so I look at it, and I'm like, and I go, Lord, do the best you can. because, you know, I just didn't have the faith to say, Lord, make this nutritious to my healthy body. I didn't have that faith. I just didn't have it. But, you know, sometimes it's like God is doing the best he can because all you're giving him is fried food to work with. We got to work with God.
Amen.
But he's working in us, right? And so, you know what? Wherever you are in your spiritual journey, you need to remind yourself, God's working in me. And I make a decision to work with him.
That's right.
He's working in me, and I'm making a decision to work with him. And as long as I do that, he's going to change me, and I'm going to be different, and things are going to be better. So no matter where you're at, don't get discouraged. Don't think what's going on. Just remind yourself, God's working in me.
Yes.
Amen? That's what the Bible says, for God is working in you. God is working in you. We need to just get up every morning and say, Lord, I thank you. You're working in me today. You're helping me. But today, we've got a bunch of people who did exactly this. God has saved them by grace. And now God is doing a work in them. And so you know what? Sometimes when you get somewhere and something happened, what's your next? You're like, what's next? What's next? Well, I'll tell you what's next. Water baptism. That's what's next. And so today, I want to explain to you how important being water baptized is, how powerful being water baptized is, and how and why we should do it. So if you're here today, and whether you got saved 10 years ago or 20 years ago, if you haven't been baptized, you'll make today be the day you say, today I want to get baptized. How's that sound? So here we go. To get water baptized, let me just give you three verses. I'm just going to read them to you real quick, and I didn't give them to the guys upstairs quick enough because I came up with them real late last night. But Acts 2:41 says this, those who accepted his message were baptized. Acts 8:12 says, but when they believed Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And then Acts 8:13 says, Simon himself believed and was, say it with me, baptized. Here's how important baptism was to Jesus. The very first thing he did when he began his public ministry was to get baptized. So if it's important to Jesus, how many know it should be important to us, right?
Amen.
Before he turned water into wine, before he fed 5,000 hungry stomachs, before he healed the sick and the lame, before he delivered the Sermon on the Mount, before he invited even one person to follow him and walk with him, you know what he did? He got baptized. And so it's very important to him. And then Jesus instructed his followers. He says, and you shall baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Baptism is very important in the Word of God. Do you know in Acts when they say that 3,000 people got born again in one day? Do you know if you read on, it says that 3,000 people got
baptized.
They got baptized. In the book of Acts, there are 9 conversion experiences. There are 9 stories about people getting born again. And all 9 of them, they receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They accept him as the substitute. They say, I can't walk across here by myself. I need Jesus. All 9 of them did that. And then all 9 of them got baptized. Baptism is important. It's important to God. It's important to it should be important to us. And then over in Acts chapter 8, verse number 36, this is where an Ethiopian official had heard the gospel explained to him by Philip, and they came around some water, and the Ethiopian asked this. He said in Acts 8:36, he said, as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of me being baptized? Isn't that good? He had just gotten saved. Philip had just told him about Jesus. He had just accepted him as his Lord and Savior. They're going along the road. They're not driving. They're riding donkeys or something. And they're going, and they come across water. And what did the eunuch say? He says, here's some water. What can stand before me to get baptized? And you know what? I want to ask that question today. Let's be like him and say, what can stand in the way of you being baptized? What have you let stand in the way of getting baptized? And you say, now let me just clarify some things. Maybe you're here today and you say, when I was little, when I was an infant, I was baptized. Well, let's just hold up for a sec and let's think about this. How many want to do things the Bible way? How many want to do it like Jesus did it?
Yes.
Jesus got baptized before he started his earthly ministry. So he was around 30 years old. He was grown, who's a grown man. All through the Bible, in every instance of somebody getting baptized, they are an adult. Or they are old enough to make the decision to receive Jesus into their heart. And I don't know about you, but I have not met an infant yet that can do that. I haven't done it. And so nothing against that. And if you experience that, then that's between you and the Lord, and that was probably a family tradition and important at the time. But don't let that event keep you from doing it the way Jesus did it. Right? Let's not let that event that you don't even remember keep you from doing it the way Jesus did it. Because I don't know about you, but if something's going to get done, I think he's going to do it the right way.
Amen.
And if I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it like Jesus did it, if I can, right? And so if you got that mindset and you have questions about that, you just need, this is what I always say, when you don't know something, step back and go back to what you do know. Go back to what you do know. Because sometimes we can spend so much time in what we don't know, and then that causes more confusion, more stress, more of all kind of crazy, right? Instead of just stepping back and saying, you know what, I don't have all those answers, but let me think about what I do know. I do know the Word of God is true. I do know that Jesus is my example. I do know that if Jesus tells me to do something, I should do it the way that he did it. And I do know that if something happened, I shouldn't let something that's happened in my past hinder what I'm going to do right now. Because God's a now God. And so I just encourage you, don't let something that you don't really understand hinder you from doing it the way Jesus did it. Right? And so let's look at, I'm going to tell you three things about baptism. Number one, why should we get baptized? Well, because Jesus commanded us to. He told us to. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, he says this. He says, so you must go and make disciples of all nations. This is Jesus' last words to us. And he says, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything I have commanded you, and you can be sure that I am always with you to the very end. And so being baptized in water is one of the first steps that we take in following Jesus. Because if I'm going to follow Jesus, I need to do what Jesus tells me to do. And Jesus said that I'm to be baptized. Now that word baptized, let's say if you ever got, you know, a sprinkle. Oh, we're really getting in trouble today, aren't we? Let's say you got a sprinkle. Well, that happened. But now let's do it the way the Bible tells me to do it. And that word baptized, it literally means, if you study it out in the Greek, it means submerged. Submerged. Now, if I take my water bottle and I sprinkle Angel, has he been submerged? That word also means overwhelmed. Has he been overwhelmed by something? No. He's just got a couple of drops on his head. We want to do it God's way because we, you know, it's like when Jesus went and he was washing the feet of the disciples and Peter said, no. I remember the story. Peter said, no, you're not doing that. But you know what? Jesus said, if you don't do it my way, you'll have no part of me. And then Peter said, okay, go ahead. Go ahead. And so maybe we've had some different ideas about stuff, but now we need to be like Peter and say, okay, let's just do it your way. Because God's way is better. We're not slamming anybody. We're not being disrespectful to anyone's traditions. We're just saying, you know what, that happened, and that's good. But today, I'm going to do it the way the Bible says to do it. And the Bible says that baptize means to be submerged and overwhelmed by water. So I'm going to do it his way. And it says that Jesus commanded me to do it, right? All right, let's keep going. Let's look about when Jesus got baptized. Turn over to Matthew 3. We're going to look at verses 13 through 17. If Jesus did it, I don't know about you, but I want to do it. Right? Because everything, I always tell people this when they say, hey, I'm studying out the Bible. Can you give me a pointer? This is my number one pointer when you're reading the New Testament. Everything that Jesus did, because we want to follow him and see how what he did and what he said and how he acted. Every single thing that Jesus did as you follow him falls into two categories. He either did it for me or he did it to show me. You know what he did for me? He went to the cross for me. He went to the cross for me. You know what he did to show me? To show me how to do it? He walked in love with people. He cared for people. He prayed for people. He laid hands on the sick. He got baptized. Amen? He did that to show me how to do it. And so when I read this and I read Matthew 3:13, I'm going to see how Jesus did it. In verse number 13, it says this, out of the New Living, it said, "Then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John." This is John the Baptist. "But John tried to talk him out of it. He said, 'I am the one who needs to be baptized by you.' He said, 'So why are you coming to me?'" Verse number 15, "But Jesus said, 'It should be done.'" We could just stop right there. It should be done. Let's keep reading. Jesus said, "It should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires." So John agreed to baptize him. After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my dearly loved Son, who brings me great joy." Oh, isn't that amazing? That's Jesus. If Jesus thought getting baptized was so important that he himself did it, I don't know about you, but that says a lot to me, that it's important. And then the next thing about baptism that God uses is baptism shows, and it's an outward experience that illustrates what has happened to you on the inside. You ever notice whenever Jesus is teaching us something in his word, he often uses something I can see to illustrate and explain something I cannot see. He uses something I can see. See, today we're going to see people go into the water and come up out of the water. We're going to see that. And Jesus teaches us that by seeing that, it is an illustration of what has happened on the inside of us that we can't see. You know, we can't see our spiritual heart. We can't see that. You can't look at somebody and say, "You have a hard heart." Now, once they start yakking, you can figure it out, but you can't see it, right? We can't see the condition of our heart to receive the word. But when Jesus taught about the condition of our spiritual heart to receive the word, he used an illustration of soil. He said, of dirt. And he showed them hard dirt. And he said, "You don't want your heart to be like this because nothing gets in it." And then he showed them soft dirt that they could move around easily. And he said, "You want your heart to be like this. So when the word of God is planted into it, it is able to get down into the dirt and produce fruit." But they couldn't see their heart with their natural eyes. So what did Jesus do? He showed them with something they could see. We can't see that when we plant seeds of finances and seeds of love and encouragement in people's lives, we can't see that something's going to grow. So what did Jesus show us? He said, "Listen, you know how a farmer plants seeds." Because we can all go out and see corn stalks, right? How many people went gleaning with us? We saw some corn stalks. We saw somebody planted a seed and that grew. And so Jesus illustrated something we could not see with our natural eyes to show us a spiritual principle. He used something we could see. The same thing is true for baptism. It's something we can see to illustrate something we can't see. And here's what it is. Turn over to Colossians chapter 2. This is so good. He says, verse number 12, "When you were baptized, you were buried together with him. You were raised to life together with him by believing in God's power. God raised Jesus from the dead." And so water baptism is an outward picture of what Jesus has done for us on the inside. Jesus died for your sins. He was buried and then was raised from the dead. And listen, this is a good part. When you ask Jesus into your heart, when you ask Jesus into your heart and you believe that he died for you, you know what happened? The old me. The old me dies. That part of you that was disconnected from God and didn't have God in your life, that part of you is buried. But you know, whenever there's death, when God's around, there's a resurrection.
Yes.
You know what resurrection means? It means brings back to life.
Amen.
And so here you are, you're without God. You don't have God. So you don't have that life of God on the inside of you. You don't have a connection with God because you haven't received, you haven't opened the door, so to speak. So then you accept Jesus into your life. The old you dies. And so then you go down. So here you are. You don't know anything. You don't know God. And you say yes to God. So what happens? You get buried. You go down in that water. And then the resurrection power of Jesus comes on you. And everything on the inside of you is made new. And you are born again. You come up out of that grave, so to speak, because that water is an illustration of a burial. And so you go down in it, the old you is buried, and then the new born again you is raised up together with Christ Jesus. Suddenly Ephesians is alive in you, because the Bible says that we were once dead in our trespasses, but God, right? And then it says, now we are raised up together with him. We are seated together with him in heavenly places. And so here I was without God. I get buried. I receive Jesus. The old me dies. And the resurrection power of Jesus comes. And I'm raised up together with him. And so we're witnessing an illustration of what has happened on the inside. And that's what baptism is. It's saying, listen, you can't see what happened on the inside of you. But the old you is dead, and the resurrected, new, born again you has been brought back to life.
Amen.
That's what baptism shows. And it shows what Jesus does on the inside of you. When you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, there is dead stuff in you, but then you receive him, and he resurrects you. He empowers you. He changes your life. And that's why water is so important. Because when you're standing there in the beginning, your hair is all done, right? You're all dry. You look one way, but then you get buried and you get brought back to life and you look different. How many know people look different when their hair is wet? They look different when they're all soaking wet, right? You look different. It's an illustration that you are different now. And so baptism is an outward sign of what's going on the inside of you. You've been raised back to life. You've been born again. And then lastly, last thing here, you know what baptism is? And this is why we give everybody who gets baptized, we give them a t-shirt that says, my declaration. It is a decision of faith. Romans chapter 6, verse number 4 says this. By being baptized, we were buried with Christ Jesus into his death. Christ Jesus has been raised from the dead by the Father's glory. And like Christ Jesus, we can also live a new life. You've been born again. But you know what? Water baptism does not save you. It does not save you. It has no purpose or meaning until after a person has decided to follow Jesus and invited Jesus into their heart. Water baptism is an important step in our walk with Jesus, but it does not save us. The only thing that saves us is receiving Jesus as our Lord and Savior. It's the only thing. And then our last scripture up here, it's in, I forgot to write it down. It's 1 Corinthians. Oh, no, it's Matthew. I was close. Matthew. It says, at least it was in the New Testament, right? It says, whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. And you know what baptism is? It is a declaration. Because another translation says, if you declare me before men, I will make a declaration to the Father for you. Oh, isn't that good?
Yeah.
So when people are getting baptized out there today, you know what they're doing? They're making a declaration. They're saying, Jesus is my Lord and Savior.
That's right.
Jesus has saved me. Jesus has brought me back to life. They're making a declaration. And here's why I think baptism is so important for all these reasons. And then also this last one is because so often the enemy's always there, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yak. He's always there telling us, you're no good, you're this, you're this, you're this, you're this. But when we get baptized, when the enemy comes and says, how do you know you're saved? How do you know God loves you? We can say, you know what, devil? I made a declaration for God. And the Bible says when I make a declaration for him, that Jesus will make a declaration to the Father for me. And so you say what you want, but I told everybody that God has done a work on the inside of me. I am different now. You will never forget the day you get baptized, because it is just exactly what our t-shirts say, a declaration that you are different. You're not perfect yet. You still got some rough edges, but God is working in you. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus. And maybe you're here today and you say, you know what? I haven't accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I haven't done that. I haven't gotten forgiveness for all of my sins. I haven't got the power that I need. I'm lost without Jesus. And I recognize that there's something missing in my life. And I realize today that it's Jesus. I want to receive that grace that you talked about abounding towards me. I want all God's love and mercy and kindness. I want forgiveness. I want to know that I'm on my way to heaven. And so if you're here with nobody looking around, just for a minute, just out of respect for people. You know, people are shy and people, you know, there's all kind of things that are going through their mind right now. Let's not let you looking at them be one of them. So just out of respect, bow your heads and close your eyes so that somebody can have the space they need to come to Jesus for the first time. So if you're here today and you say, you know what, I need to do that. I need to come to Jesus because I know I need a Savior. I know there's something missing from my life. And I want to know that I know I'm on my way to heaven and not hell. So if that's you today, you don't have to, you're not going to earn it. You're never going to deserve it. You just need to receive it. So if you're here today and you say, I want to receive the gift of salvation, just raise your hand up big and tall and say, Peggy, that's me. I see your hand back there. Anybody else? I see your hand. I see your hand over there. Anybody else? I want to receive salvation. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else before we move on? I want to receive salvation. I know I need God, and I want to open my heart up to him today. Oh, hallelujah. For the sake of those four who raised their hand, let's all pray this prayer together. Let's say it together, because we're in the together business. So let's say it together. Say, Father God, this morning,
I receive
Jesus
as my Lord
and my Savior.
I don't earn it.
I don't deserve it. But I receive it.
I am saved
by his grace.
Right now,
I accept
Jesus
as my Lord
and my Savior.
I believe
he's the Son of God.
He died for me
and rose again.
I'm different.
I'm saved.
A miracle
has taken place
on the inside of me.
In Jesus' name,
amen.
Now, one more prayer before we go.
If you're here today and you say,
you know what, I got saved
maybe a year ago,
a week ago,
20 years ago,
but I haven't
taken the step of
being baptized.
And today
I realize how important
it is to Jesus,
that he
showed by example.
And it is,
if you got saved today
and you want to
get baptized,
we'll make it happen for
you. We've got extra
clothes. We
got some clothes for you.
We got a t-shirt
for you.
We'll help you.
And you
say, today,
I want to get baptized.
I've never been baptized.
Anybody like that?
Just raise your hand and say,
today, I want to
get baptized. Anybody
in here?
Hopefully,
we're all baptized.
We're all on our
way to heaven.
Baptized?
All right.
Praise the Lord.
Anybody else?
Anybody else
want to jump in?
Well, you know what?
Today, we're going to
celebrate
26
people getting
baptized today.
Isn't that awesome?
Praise
the Lord.
Well, God is so
good. We're going to
receive our supernatural offering.